Welcome to the Super Gamer Podcast. Welcome to the new Super Gamer Podcast, episode 187. Our guest this week is a trombonist, a composer, arranger, an educator, a music producer, is the band leader of Split Screen, which is largely what we're going to be talking about. We have Eric Lattish here. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so Split Screen is your band, is a band of yours, and you have your debut album, self-titled, releasing January 26th. People can pre-order it now on Bandcamp. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, it's been a long time coming. We've been working on the record for several months, and we're just excited to get it out there.
Yeah, so let's talk about the behind the record. Like, when you make an album of VGM covers, which this is, so jazzed up, but do you know right away, like, these are the exact songs we're doing, or are there B-sides? Like, is there anything you start arranging and you're like, ah, no, not right for the album?
So this is kind of an interesting thing that I had started thinking about before we hopped on the call, because I was like, I probably need to be ready to answer that in some capacity. And this was kind of a situation where it initially started as I said to the group when we all got together, I said, hey, we're going to make an album. But I started by just sending out like one arrangement at a time. And so the first one I had done was our arrangement of Quarters of Time from Chrono Trigger. And I finished that, sent it out, and was like, okay, great. What's next? And I kind of just started to build up this list of like, these are tunes that I would like to do with this group. And I took some input from the group. I was like, hey, is there anything you guys want to play? And they would offer their perspective here and there. But by and large, it was kind of just like, I have this list of tunes I would like to do. Let's just pick a few until we have an album.
Was your inclusion of a Sonic Adventure 2 song a little nod to how you started in VGM?
Oh, man. I had not thought about that at all. Not intentionally, so I think really the impetus for including that, the final track of the album is Live and Learn from Sonic Adventure 2. And I think my biggest inspiration to want to include that tune was, one, to have my friend Charles Ritz, who is not a member of the band, but is a dear friend of mine. I wanted to have him on for something, as well as I just love that song and really, really wanted to cover that with the group. I thought it would be a fun, almost like crossover pop arrangement in a way that also has these like super dense jazz fusion moments that I was like, yes, we need this tune on the album. But as you did mention, my very first cover ever was a Sonic the Hedgehog cover, and it's awful. Please don't play it. by today's standards, it is not great, but there always has been some Sonic in a lot of the projects that I've done. I've never really thought about that before.
It is not awful, but I get what you're saying. in the sense that, you know, it's tough to look back on one's own work and, you know, see how far you've come. But a couple questions about that first ever video, actually.
Sure.
Do you still dance when you record?
Yeah, I would say I do. It's not something I actively think about doing anymore. I definitely was like trying to do the YouTube thing and like put on a little bit of a show, I guess, which, you know, is still a thing that people do, but these days it's something I do more organically, as opposed to, you know, the choreography that the immediate thing that comes to mind is this video I did on Chemical Plant Zone in like 2017. God, I think it was like 19 or something when I filmed that. I had choreographed these like horn moves in the video, and I was just like, this is dumb. Why did I do this? Especially now, I'm like, that's not how this works. Like, if I do something on camera at this point, it's like, this is a genuine response to the music that's happening, for better or worse sometimes.
What happened to your trombone wristband?
I believe that broke, if I'm not mistaken. And I have, I got it at a marching band competition when I was in high school. And that broke at some point. And I had another one because I played the marching baritone when I was in marching band. I had another one that said baritone, and when the trombone one broke, I think I said, no, it's time to retire that, because that is very, very high schooler.
Well, I think, if I may, the most adorable part of that first VGM video of yours is you have a Midgard poster in the background.
Yes, I don't know where that is anymore. I I was actually just thinking about that the other day. I went back and watched some of my older videos because I was kind of just reflecting on what my journey has been with YouTube. But I was thinking about that poster. I saw it in the background, and I was like, where is that even? So I probably threw it away at some point in one of my many moves. But yeah, Final Fantasy VII. I mean, I was very, I'm still very into it, but I had that poster and was just, it was there as a part of the backdrop. I think I told myself I need game stuff in the background.
Well, I mean, speaking of Final Fantasy VII, you do have Tifa's theme on the split screen album. And speaking of Genesis's, let's talk about the story of how split screen got together. Because you are a remote band. You guys don't live in the same place.
Yes. So this was a project that was kind of, it was born in a bit of a selfish way, but it was also born in a way of just wanting to do stuff, more stuff with other people in the video game music community. So I'd done, to I guess recount my story a little bit, I spent a little over 7 years on YouTube as Eric L was my channel name, and I just recently changed it to my actual name. What I did was effectively, I'm sure listeners are familiar with Insane in the Rain music, I was effectively that format but with trombones instead of saxophones and far less competence on the piano. I had done that for many years, and at a certain point I got to this point where I said, this, it's just not as fulfilling as it used to be. It's like someone telling the same joke over and over and over. At a certain point, that joke's just not funny anymore. And I had, for lack of a better way to put it, and I guess this is what it is, I burned out towards the end of 2022. And so at that point, I had sort of been like, well, I don't really know what I'm going to do. Because I was still releasing videos like fairly consistently. At that point, I had my day job and YouTube, and those were the things that I did. And once I stopped making YouTube videos on a regular basis under that old format, I at that point, the only video game music stuff that I had on the horizon in any capacity, at last year's MAGFest, I had two performances scheduled, one with, well, it wasn't my performance, but I was a guest with the Game Brass as part of their 16-member brass choir on the main stage. And my friend who I'd previously mentioned, Charles Ritz, I was a guest for his set in the Belvedere Lobby Bar. And in having those performances, you know, there was a bit of a gap between when I decided I'm going to step away from making videos on a regular basis. And MAGFest, there was like a couple-month period where I was like, not really sure, but I had those performances to look forward to. And then fast forward to MAGFest, I'm there doing the performances and I'm having a great time doing it. I've seen a bunch of other amazing artists like the Big Band, Scott Toon Network, Dom Palombi's Game Night, I believe. And I saw these groups and kind of had my light bulb moment of groups just make things better. It's just more fun to do things with a group. And I had several people that I wanted to kind of collaborate with on a more consistent basis. So I think I was actually on the plane home from MAGFest when I had said, hey, I was traveling with my brother and I said to him, hey, I think I'm going to start a band and we're going to do remote recordings. And so I reached out to several people that I'd worked with before. You know, 8-Bit Music Theory is our drummer. He had recorded on my Deltarune Chapter 2 album that I made. And I asked him if he wanted to come on for drums. Had DS Music and David Chilas both on the piano, alternating between electric and regular piano. And some horn players like Foolish Frankie, Elijah Brown, and Chris Williams. They're all fantastic players. And Andy, I think Andy actually might have been the first person, our bass player Andy Rue, I think might have been the first person that I reached out to. And so in reaching out with all those people, I just said, hey, I have this idea of having a remote recording video game jazz fusion band. Are you interested? And fortunately, nobody said no. That was the thing I was the most nervous about, was that people would say no. and everyone said yes. And we actually, I think yesterday is technically the 1 year anniversary of when we started our Discord server and like officially started the project that is Split Screen.
Cool. I was going to ask if there was like anyone that was, you know, didn't make the cut or like you said, wasn't able to participate, but I guess not.
No, it was, I was very fortunate to just have everyone that I'd worked with already just say, yeah, I'm in, let's do it. And I think initially there were a couple of people that I hadn't worked with as much before. Like again, Apid Music Theory comes to mind. His perspective was kind of just, I just want to get more practice recording the drums. And everyone had their own reasons, I think, for saying yes outside of it just being a video game music thing. But I'm so glad that they did, because the whole group has just been a joy to work with the whole time. They're all fantastic musicians.
So have you ever, because you have your first ever live performance together coming up at this MAGFest, so it's right on the horizon. Have you ever played together in one room before?
The only musician in the band that I have ever played in the same room as before is DS Music, because DS was the pianist for Charles Ritz's set in the Belvedere Lobby Bar last year. Everybody else I have not played with before. I don't think a lot of them have played with each other before. So, well, okay, I have to make an addendum to that statement. Our 8-Bit Music Theory cannot make it to MAGFest this year, so our substitute drummer is our friend Yusuf Rashid, who I've also performed with before. But as a group, no, Split Screen has not ever even played a single note in the same room together before. Our first time doing that will be the night before the performance. We get a 1 hour rehearsal, which will be enough, but that's a little scary to think about.
Right. If anything, you know, if anything drastically goes wrong, you got an hour.
That's very true. And when I was thinking about what we were going to play at MAGFest this year, I had thought, man, it'd be really cool to do just like a bunch of new arrangements and stuff. And then I thought, we're not going to have a lot of time to rehearse. We should probably do mostly things that the band already knows how they go. So we are doing one arrangement that has not been premiered on YouTube and is not on the album. Actually, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I was about to say what it was, but we'll keep it a surprise for now for anyone listening before MAGFest. But we are doing one tune that we have not recorded or released before, and that's also not on the album. So that'll probably be the scariest one. I think everything else will be, hopefully, will go smoothly.
I predict it will. You're all clearly very talented musicians. And when I was at VGMCon 2023, I got to see various talented musicians. They just had like jam spaces where like huge rooms of people just, and tons of people joining in when and if they felt like it, and it was just flawless, no problem. So yeah, you'll be
that
fine.
That was one thing I also was at VGMCon in 2023. And I spent a fair amount of time, I think on my last night there, I spent a fair amount of time in the jam space, in addition to a couple of main stage performances that I either sat in on or was a guest for. And Split Screen will also be playing at VGMCon this year, so that's another thing that we're coming back for.
Cool. I don't think I'll make it, unfortunately, but it's very close to me. Well, it's, in terms of where I live, very, very close to me.
Sure.
But, yeah, MAGFest a bit too far.
Yeah, yep. It's a little far for me as well, but when an opportunity like playing any of the stages at MAGFest comes up, you take the call.
So what does it mean to be a band leader in this type of project? What do you do?
So as the band leader, I feel like I identify internally as the arranger for the group. But there are band leader logistics that I also have to, you know, take cue from. So the first thing I do first and foremost is just, you know, I see myself as the arranger, music director. This is what we're gonna play and how it's supposed to sound whenever we're doing these projects. But in terms of like the actual organizational process behind that, I try to model the way that I do things after the way that the Game Brass does things, which they're a phenomenal group to work with. I've been on several of their projects, but they most of the time, the thing that they do is their arranger kind of spearheads the organization of getting everything recorded. You know, it's here's the track. Here are all of the resources that you would need for the track. Things like sheet music, the MIDI demo, click track, things like that. And any like detailed notes that would be any kind of important to getting these recordings made that, you know, because we're not all in the same room, often have to be specified. So I, in a sense, as the band leader, I'm honestly, I think a better word for it might be like musical director slash creative visionary slash people wrangler slash logistics,
right?
Whatever. There's a lot of like small things that go into it that I'm just not remembering off the top of my head, but a decent portion of how I view my job is the creative process behind our music.
Well, I know you play several instruments, not just trombone, although that's obviously your main one. And I know you arrange for several instruments, but is it ever like, do you ever go, hey, you know, you're the drummer, you figure it out? Or do you meticulously, you know, have it all ready for every song?
In reference to, I mean, really the place that I have to think about this the most is in rhythm section parts, things like the drums, the pianos, the bass. A lot of the time there's a like fairly specific idea that I'll have, but I don't expect exact notes a lot of the time. So it's kind of this balance of this is what I want, but also there are some instances where I think you know what I want better than what I'm writing. And I think drums is the most obvious case of that. I think I've said to Ben, 8-Bit Music Theory, I think I've said to him before that he's one of my favorite drummers to work with because a lot of the time he does know what I want better than I do. Which as an arranger can sometimes be a bit of a weird experience to be like, that's not what I wrote, but I like it better.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of a just kind of let it go aspect to some things that come with recording this kind of project where you're saying, OK, here's the part, here's the deadline. And whatever they send me, unless it's just like completely wrong, I'm usually able. There's only been one instance I can think of where someone's ever sent me something that was like, hey, can we redo this? And it was very easy fix. But in general, these cats are all just incredible to work with. And I've never had extreme issue just letting go and saying, I trust you.
So, I mean, we're getting into it already, but more generally, what is it difficult or making an album remotely? Like, what's the difference between what you're doing here or if you all had to go into a studio? And I mean, you're still recording your tracks separately in that case, right? So what goes into recording an album remotely?
So I've been in a studio situation a few times, and the studio situation has its benefits in that typically if you're in that, at least in my experience, typically if you're in the scenario where you're all in the same room at the same time, there's a little more communication and conversation in the music, and not just in the music, but also in terms of like how everyone's playing, you know, can we check this? Can we do this? Things that otherwise, you know, in this context, you kind of rely on the person recording to do that and to have that sort of self-analysis, which there's a reason that I work with the incredible musicians I work with. They all have very, very strong, strong ability to self-identify things like that. But it's also, you know, in some ways, I think it's both more and less chaotic because it's more chaotic to go in studio in the sense that you have to organize all these people's schedules to be in the same place at the same time, and if you're having rehearsals, anything like that. But if you're recording remotely, you get the advantage that everyone is able to get their stuff turned in their time while still meeting the overall project deadline. You do lose a little bit of the sort of just like personal touch that is playing the music in the same room at the same time. But I think working remotely definitely has its advantages, both in terms of, ability to actually, get the recording done, as well as, if I'm being honest, a budget, because a recording studio is not a cheap thing to book. But if everyone's recording from their own homes, you just have to ask, hey, can you do this?
Which dinosaur do you think is most likely to have played the trombone?
I think it would be funny if the answer was a T-Rex.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like something about the personality of like a Triceratops. A Triceratops seems like it could be a trombone player.
Would Triceratops have been your... I know you were very... As many kids are, I know you're very into dinosaurs.
Wow, you really did do your homework. I would say yes, though whatever tweet that I made that you're probably looking at, I don't know if I said the same thing, but I think a Triceratops was probably my favorite dinosaur as a kid.
Let's go back to split screen then. My personal favorite track, you kindly have let me listen to the album. Mm-hmm. And my favorite track is Stick. I always get it wrong. Is it Sticker Bush or Sticker Brush Symphony?
Yeah, so Sticker Bush, as far as I'm aware, that's what's on the licensing paperwork.
Okay.
So
that is
that better be what it
is. It's a song that I love, and every time I think about it, I'm like, wait, is it Brush or Bush?
Yeah.
That is my favorite. I love that one.
Yeah, that was a fun track to work on. That, in particular, I had some challenges in working on that. Because while I wrote the track with two drummers in mind, the track features Dom Palombi of Dom Palombi's Game Night and just being an incredible drummer. I asked him, hey, I have this idea to do a double drum thing where we have both our drummer and you on the track and just kind of have this drum duel in the middle of the track, which was really cool. And it's a really cool concept, but from the production perspective, like as I was mixing this, I was like, man, how do I make this work? Because it was one thought in my head that I was like, okay, we're going to do two drums and we're going to do it this way. And then actually doing it ended up being a lot harder because of the kind of sonic landscape that the drums consume, in addition to, an entire seven people playing their instruments.
Do you have a favorite song from it? You're so obviously it's kind of your baby. Like, is it something?
I was gonna say you're asking me to pick a favorite child.
Right.
I don't have any children, but I don't think I could do it. One that was a lot of fun to write, and it's technically the first arrangement that I wrote for Split Screen, but it's not the first one I felt confident enough in sending out. Was Out of Tartarus from Hades. That one was really hard to arrange, mostly just because of all the weird meters that happen. But there was something so cathartic about getting the final track for that and being like, I managed to pretty... It wasn't perfect, but the group more or less managed to achieve playing metal without a guitar.
When you say you weren't comfortable sending that out first, like, do you mean like to the other musicians, like the arrangement or the finished product?
So I do mean the arrangement. When I had finished the arrangement, I listened back to it and I said, this needs more time. This needs more love. I'm going to hold on to this one and I'm going to write. I'm going to arrange something else. And something else ended up being the first track on the album, which is Corridors of Time, which was also our first music video.
So what's, obviously there's still, you're like right on the precipice of like all this stuff finally coming to fruition, right? The album, the Magfest show, all that. But can you look beyond that? Like what do you have planned for future Split Screen?
I don't know if this counts as an official announcement or anything, but I am crazy, and I think people probably just assumed that I was already writing the next Split Screen album, which I am. I came to the group maybe like the day after I submitted the album for licensing, and I said, hey, just a heads up, I've already written 5 tunes for the next album.
Where they're like, whoa, slow down.
I don't think anyone really said much of anything because it was during the holiday season, so I think most people were kind of just like, yeah, I mean, do what you're going to do with your time, that's fine. But I like to imagine that at least one of them internally was probably like, what's he doing? We haven't even announced the first one and like a release date yet. So that's already kind of in the works. Since that day, I think I've written 3 more arrangements for the next album. We'll see what actually makes the final cut for the next one. Of course, I mentioned we have our show at VGM Con
right
in April as well, and that's a little bit longer of a set, and we get to try some more things there because we'll have a little more time to rehearse. So that'll also be a great time. That's something we're looking forward to. But one of, I think, my biggest goal with Split Screen moving forward is just to continue playing shows and conventions and just really, really sharing this thing that we as Split Screen love. Kind of the I guess, mantra that I have written myself is that Split Screen is something that was kind of born out of my passion for game music and jazz. And one of the things I hope that I can do, both in recorded settings and in live settings, is to kind of use one to innovate upon the other, in both directions. I think there's sort of this disconnect between jazz and video game music that, you know, several people have talked about. There's a whole Adam Neely video about it, and they have a lot more things in common with each other than I think a lot of people realize. And while the format that we're doing it in is not necessarily strictly related to jazz as you would see it in like a jam session or here on a lot of albums of playing jazz standards, it still borrows a lot from my training as a jazz musician. I have a jazz performance degree, and that's kind of the thing that influences a lot of how I write for the group, is filtering this game music through a jazz lens. And I've gone way off topic of what my larger goals with Split Screen are, which are, you know, of course, just to keep doing what we're doing and hopefully continue to play shows and conventions at an even larger scale at a certain point, which MAGFest is already pretty high up there. Like, it doesn't get much higher than playing at MAGFest, but I digress.
By the way, the name Split Screen, when I was watching the Chrono Trigger video, maybe I should have clued in before that, but I was like, oh, it's a remote band and you're a Split Screen.
I wish I could say I was that clever. that was kind of after I scrolled through the Wikipedia article called List of Video Game Terms. And I found one that I liked. And then sent it to the band, and they were like, I sent a list to the band, and I was like, hey, what do we think of these? And Split Screen got the most votes. And then after we picked the name, I was like, oh, I guess our videos will be the like Zoom call Split Screen style thing. And it might be better, honestly, for me to not be the one editing these, because my video editing chops are very, very limited. Well, I shouldn't say very, very limited, but they're limited in that it takes me a lot longer to do what someone like Ro Panuganti, who is our video editor, can do in much less time. And in my opinion, his edits are incredible. He's been a great part of our band's visual identity, as far as, you know, we have the Omo Chow in our Live and Learn video, or we have the giraffe in our cover of the theme from The Last of Us. Just stuff that I would not necessarily think to do, or that if I could do them, they would take me forever. And he's found a way for us to make the split screen, not as a proper noun, like Zoom call style videos into something that's a little more visually engaging. And He, for all intents and purposes, I consider Ro a part of the band in terms of the way he edits. And it's just been great working with him in addition to all the fantastic musicians in the band.
Awesome. Well, people can they can pre-order now, and then on January 26th, they can get the official. But pre-order now if you want on Bandcamp. Where else can they check out Split Screen, and where can we find Eric Laddish?
So you can find Split Screen at Split Screen VGM. Currently, we're on Twitter or X or whatever people call it these days, and Instagram, as well as you mentioned our Bandcamp, which you can find at our social media with our trademark link in bio by Linktree. And you can find me just at Eric L. Tramone on pretty much all social media. And I guess it's an important distinction that my YouTube channel is where Split Screen videos are hosted, as this is one of the many projects that I have.
Eric Laddish of Split Screen, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.